This podcast is hosted on podhome.fm, an intelligent podcasting platform that you can use to host unlimited shows and episodes and have unlimited downloads. Podhome comes with many intelligent features, like Podhome AI, which automatically creates transcripts, chapters, suggests titles, show notes, detects people, and creates clips. You can use Podhome AI unlimited for all your episodes and all your shows. Go check it out and start your free 7-day trial at podhome.fm.
Premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational, independent, and standing on the inspired, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible as our final authority, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Joseph Russiello. Take your Bible, sit back, and join us as we open and study the Word of God. And now, here's your host.
Well, hey there, folks. This is Joe Russiello, and it is great to be with you once again as we open up and study the precious Word of God, your King James Bible. And you know, folks, as always, whenever and wherever you find yourselves listening to us, it's always, always, always my prayer that you also find yourself in the grace and in the mercy of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. All right, and we are live once again from the Asylum Studios here on the pimple on the backside of Texas, the beautiful city of Eagle Pass. Well, folks, it is another Thursday night, and I'm glad to see that we're all here, that the catastrophes that were supposed to take place after the eclipse on this past Monday came and went. And it's great that we're all still here together and that we can open up the Word of God and we can talk about some of the things that that we've been talking about for the last few Thursday nights. Now, for the last we've been talking about some of the indicators of the last days. And, you know, we've talked about God's clock and, of course, his timetable. We've talked about the land and who that land is dedicated to and the regathering of Israel in the land. We talked about that. We also talked about a little bit about anti-Semitism and how it's been increasing in these last days, just as the Lord Jesus said that it would. And then we talked a little bit about the root of anti-Semitism. We also covered the present alignment of the nation in these last days. And we talked about the resurgence of Babylon. We talked about the rise of the Russian bear. And then last week, we laid some groundwork in order to conclude this series tonight with a talk about the selfie generation. And then now tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to take a much more detailed look at that selfie generation. But before we get to the Bible study tonight, I'm going to ask you to do, as always, just a couple of things for me. First of all, would you visit our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's swordofthespiritpodcast.com. And when you get there, would you head over to our contact section, look for that little contact form that we have, and why don't you send us over a message? You can let us know whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, any questions, comments, cares, or concerns that you might have. Also, don't forget, you can send over your prayer requests. We look forward to getting those. And I know I wanted to try to do it for this Thursday, but unfortunately we weren't able to get it put together on time. Had a few things came up this week that kind of kept me from getting all my show notes together in a timely manner, like I had been doing the last couple of weeks. But that doesn't mean we're not working on it, and we're not praying over the prayer requests that have been coming in. Thank you for those, and we're going to continue to pray over those things that you've sent over to us. And probably on Sunday we'll have the prayer list ready to go. Now, if you don't want to use the web form to send anything over to us, that's totally fine. I understand that. You could always email me directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. That's info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Now, also, while you're on the website, if you would, please look for the support button on the homepage. We are a value for value podcast. And for those of you who are new to it, basically you can contribute to this show in basically three different ways, or a combination, or however you feel fit. But you could contribute the three T's. That's your time, your talent, or your treasure. If you have a skill like our producer Claude with all the tech stuff and website development and all the other things that go behind the scenes for what we do here, you can contribute your time for that. You can also contribute your talent. If you're a graphic designer, or if you do video work, or if you do anything that music production, if you're good at mixing, if you're good at doing anything on the tech side of it, you can also contribute your talent, or you can contribute your treasure. And so if this podcast has been a blessing to you in any way, so if you've received anything of value from what we're doing here, please consider a donation to the show. That would be your treasure. Now, if you haven't noticed, we don't run ads. We're not monetized anywhere. We're totally dependent upon you, our listeners, to help keep this thing going. And remember, your support helps us not only keep the lights on, but it also helps us to purchase Bibles. That way we can give those away if anyone contacts us and says they want a new King James Bible. Not a new King James Bible, not an NKJV. I'm talking about a new Bible. They want a King James Bible. Got to be careful how you phrase things. I'll get called a heretic somewhere along the way. If someone reaches out to us and they can't afford a Bible of their own, we will happily send out a Bible to them. And so your contributions go to that. Your contributions and donations also go to help us support active missionaries where we can. And of course, as you know, we are also still in the process of doing the repair work to the studio and to the rest of the house here. So your contributions will help toward that as well. And again, folks, nothing that gets contributed or donated to us goes in my pocket or Mr. Producer's. Everything goes out right back into what we're doing here with the Sword of the Spirit podcast. So again, the three T's: your time, your talent, or your treasure. So pray about it, and if the Lord leads you to do it, please consider that contribution. Now, as always, before we go any further with the show, I always like to stop here and just want to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has blessed us in so many ways, not only through the podcast, but through life in itself. And if we sat here tonight and we tried to list all of the blessings that God has poured out upon us, we would have probably the longest podcast stream ever in the history of podcasts. You know, I am incredibly thankful for the roof that's over our heads now, because we actually have a roof. So I laugh, but it's funny, but it's true. You know, I'm thankful that I have the roof over my head. I am thankful that God has provided for us through all of this stuff that we've been going through. And I am so thankful that I have, you know, food in the refrigerator. I am thankful that I have the clothes on my back, and I have all the stuff that's here in front of me. I am incredibly thankful for that. I know that I would not have any of it if it wasn't for the Lord. But more importantly than all of that material stuff, more important than all of that, I am thankful for the gift of salvation. I'm not going to go through my entire testimony again. I've done it several times already. So if you want to hear it, go back to some of the older episodes, you'll hear it. But I got saved 23 years ago. It'll be 24 years this coming July. And it's been the most exciting experience that you could ever have in your life. You know, God has reached down his nail-scarred hands over the banister of glory. He reached down and saved a wretched sinner like me. It's just something that absolutely blows my mind away. And it's something that I think about how many times I've let the Lord down, but yet he has been faithful to me, and he has lifted me up, and it's just, it's not something that I deserve. I know that there's nothing in me that is worth saving. Nothing. But God saved me, and I am so thankful for that.
the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the creator of everything, came here, put on human flesh, and allowed his creation to brutally torture and execute him, to pay the sin debt for the entire world, yours, mine, everyone. And all he asks is that you accept that free gift, that you put your full faith, trust, and confidence in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood was the all-sufficient payment for your sin debt. And when you put your full faith, trust, and confidence in that, and in that alone, not your works, not your church, not your pastor, not your preacher, not your podcaster, you know, you put your full faith, trust, and confidence in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you in shedding his sinless, perfect blood for you. And you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord today. Don't wait. As we've been talking about in these shows for the last, this will be 8 weeks now. We are in the last days. The last days of the last days. And it is so important right now that you get saved. You do not want to go to hell. The worst place imaginable. Hell is not a party place. It's not a place where you're going to go hang out with your buddies and have a beer and sit around and smoke cigars and play cards and hang out with all the distractions of life down there. No. Hell is the worst place imaginable. It is a place where the Bible says that the fire never dies. The fire is never quenched. It's a place of ever-increasing darkness. It is a place that is further and further removed from the presence of God. And I really do believe with all of my heart that when a person dies and ends up in hell, one of the things that's going to become a stark reality to them very, very quickly was how simple and how easy it could have been to be saved. All they needed to do was put their full faith, trust, and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's not your works. It's not your baptism. It's not your sacraments. It's not praying to dead saints. It's not the Pope. It's not Mary. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's none of that. It's not the 3 million Hindu gods. None of them can offer you salvation. Only Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord today. Get saved today. Don't wait another minute. You don't know what can happen. You can drop dead right here, right now, listening to this. Don't waste the opportunity. Call upon the name of the Lord and get saved today. Now, I also want to say thank you to the Lord for, of course, you know, giving me this opportunity. This is something that I look forward to every week. I look forward to sitting down here and opening up the Word of God and getting together with you and pooling our ignorance together in the Bible study. It is a blessing. It's an incredible blessing. It just blows me away that God has given me this opportunity, that God has given me this platform through this podcast that I never thought would go beyond 10 episodes. And here we are tonight at episode number 170. And this thing has been distributed all across this country. It's been distributed all across this beautiful plain on which we live. It's a platform that God has given me where I get an opportunity to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ in parts of the world that I never even knew existed. You know, wow. Just thinking about that, it blows my mind. And it is such a blessing to be here with you. I also want to say thank you to all of you who've been supporting us from the very start through your prayers. Thank you so much for your prayers. God bless you for them. Please continue to pray for this ministry. Pray for this particular show. Pray for the network that Claude and I are working on building. and pray for my family. Of course, pray for Claude, our producer, as you know, he's working so hard on not only our podcast, but on a number of other projects as well. Got a lot of things on his plate. So we want to continue to pray for him, of course. And of course, please continue to pray for me as well. Just ask the Lord to give me clarity and to give me understanding and patience. I need patience. My patience is wearing thin these days, but pray for patience for me. Also want to say thank you to all of you who have been supporting us financially. God bless you, and thank you so much for your financial support. And as usual, at the end of the show, after we do the after we do our Bible study tonight, we'll be going through some of those contributions and donations, and we'll be giving the shout outs to those who have contributed that minimum of $16.11, we'll shout them out. We'll read some listener email, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But thank you again for your financial support, and of course, I want to thank all of you who have been listening to us faithfully from the very, very beginning of everything that we've been doing. Thank you so very much. Now, as you know, we're not on Spotify anymore. We're not on TuneIn or iHeart. And some folks that I've told that, you know, we voluntarily removed ourselves from those platforms all tell me I'm crazy. Those are the big guys. Those are the big boys, you know. Those are the ones that are going to get you exposed. And actually, no. Believe it or not, no. We don't have a huge operating budget. We can't really compete with these big name podcasters and shows. And I'm not crazy about the terms of service with those platforms. I had really no control over what was being advertised on the feed. It's just something that I needed to get away from. I also going in, you know, full steam with podcasting 2.0 and the value for value system that allowed us to focus more on working with the smaller podcast platforms and just getting totally immersed in this. And this has been a blessing. It's been great. Even though we're not on those big players anymore, we're seeing our numbers. You know, there are weeks and days where it just kind of maintains itself, but I've also seen spikes in a lot of the newer platforms like Fountain.fm and Podcast Guru and True Fans and so many more, Player FM, and just so many opportunities out there for us. And this has been a blessing to be able to do it here. And to have everybody that's been sticking with us from the very beginning to stay here with us has been just amazing. Thank you. Now, we're also on a platform called Good Pods. You know that. And we are still currently number one on 5 categories on the Good Pods platform. And that is a blessing in itself, because that Good Pods is like the Goodreads for independent podcasters like us. And it's great because we can have interaction with our friends and our listeners. Our audience, we can have the ranking system that they have is phenomenal, because it gives us exposure. It lets people find us, which is great, because remember, our goal here is not to make a name for ourselves, but to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we try to do with every single show that we do. And platforms like Good Pods and the newer platforms and podcasting 2.0 platforms that are out there, the modern podcast apps, they help us do that. And it's a blessing to be able to be part of that. And I also met some great folks like Claude, for example. I met Claude through this whole process, and we've become great friends, and now we're working together on this show and things to come, and that's great. I've met Barry, who's the owner of Podhome.fm, which is our host platform now, and he's been a great blessing to us and a great friend, as a matter of fact, we're going to be having an interview for one of his podcasts called About Podcasting sometime next week, not sure when it's going to run, but I'll let you know when that comes about. But I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about that. I can't wait to sit down and talk with Barry and to get to know more folks and get more exposure for the show. It's going to be huge. It's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. So thank you again so much to everybody for all that you've been doing And please continue to like, subscribe, and share this with your friends, your family, and your followers. Because when you do that, you help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Well, that will take us to our first break before we get into the Bible study tonight. So go grab your King James Bible, get yourself a cup of coffee, and when we come back, we'll get into our Bible study tonight on the indicators of the last days, the selfie generation, the last of this particular series, before we move on to the next one. All right, folks, this is Joe Russiello and the Sword of the Spirit podcast, and we'll be back right after this. Just stay with us.
You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and podhome.fm.
The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I'll sing throughout eternity. Amazing grace, amazing love. Was it for crimes that I have done upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I'll sing throughout eternity. Amazing grace, amazing love. Amazing grace shall ever be my song of praise, my highest call. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my love.
Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello. And if you have your Bible with you, if you would, head on over to 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, we kind of flew through the opening a little bit, and I did that primarily because I think this might be a little bit longer than we usually go have been going of late. So I didn't want to take up too much time with opening, so I want to get right to the message here. So 2 Peter and chapter 3. Now, this has kind of been our launching pad for this series on the indicators of the last days, and so we'll go through this little passage here for the last time in the series. First, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the reading, the preaching, and the teaching of your holy word tonight. Father, I ask that you would just bless it as it goes out. Lord, I thank you so much for all of those that are listening right now. And Lord, I pray for those that will be listening later on as the podcast. And I pray, Lord, that this message would be a blessing to them. Father, help us to see and to hear, thus saith the Lord, on these very, very important issues, on these indicators of the last days. Father, we thank you, and we praise you and bless you in the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, here we are. It's Thursday night, and you're here. Praise the Lord for that. And like I said earlier, in case you're just tuning in right now, I'm glad to see that we've all survived the eclipse, and we're going to get right down to business here. Now, we've been talking about the indicators of the last days. And I'm sure folks can say, well, you know, the eclipse is part of the last days. Well, yeah. The Bible does talk about an eclipse, you know, a period of darkness in the book of Revelation, absolutely, during the tribulation period, absolutely. But that's not on the agenda for tonight, all right? So we've been talking about these indicators, and we're down to the last one. We're down to the one that we called the selfie generation. I pondered how to present this because there's really a few different ways to approach this, at least to what came to my mind. So what I decided to do is just use God's terminology, because God's he's pretty descriptive about the selfie generation. You know, I don't think you have to be too knowledgeable about current events to know that we live in a time and in an age where people are really into themselves, and they're into themselves perhaps even more than ever. And God told us that that would be an indicator of the last days. So lovers of self. All right, let's go over to 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. See, the problem with so many of these symptoms that we're going to read right now is that as the world adopts these ideas and philosophies and these attitudes, you know, they have an insidious way of creeping into the church and into the lives of believers. And sometimes it's very covert, and we don't recognize it. We don't see it coming. Be that as it may, it does happen. And I think that's one reason why so many churches today are just kind of like sterile. You know, nobody's getting saved. Nobody's excited. Nobody's thrilled about the Word of God. You know, it's just kind of dead. And that's tragic. It's extremely tragic. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul begins the chapter by saying this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, Paul utilizes this same exact language in other places, and in each situation, it seems to indicate that Paul is talking about the time, you know, perhaps the generation just prior to the rapture, you know, the last days. Now, you could say, you know, in one sense, everything from Jesus Christ to the rapture is the last days, but we're talking about the last days of the last days, and certainly we are there. So he said, you know, here are some indicators of the last days as far as the selfie generation is concerned. Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." All right, now we're going to call that the headline, lovers of self. All right, that's the headline for this piece here, okay? And we're going to look at all the things that Paul lists here in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. We're going to go through all of these things. Now, I can honestly give you two or three verses of Scripture for every single one of them, but like I said, I sense that this is going to be a little bit longer of a show than we normally would do. And for the sake of brevity, we're only going to look at one verse for each one. All right. Now, the first thing on the list is covetous. Covetous. All right. Now, you're probably aware of the fact that that's the 10th commandment of all 10. Right. Thou shalt not covet. All right. We live in a very covetous age. All right. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Timothy in chapter 6. Just back up a couple of pages. You should be there. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, addressing covetousness from this aspect. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after," there's our word, "they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, God never said money was evil. All right, I just want to make sure you notice that. He never said money was evil. He said the love of money was evil. All right, everybody realizes that you got to have money to buy beans and pay the electric bill. Right, we all understand that. But when people get overzealous about acquiring money, you know, that's why lotteries will never go away in America. You know, people line up, and the bigger the pot, the longer the lines. You know, people desiring to acquire a great deal of money. You know, I've had countless Christians tell me over the years what they're going to do when they win the lottery. You know, I've heard folks say, "Well, I'll give half of it to God," which is admirable, I guess, you know. But did you stop to think that when you say that, God says, "Good, start next week. You want to give half to God? How about half your paycheck?" So, people, you know, we've developed into a very covetous society. We're desiring more and more. You know, that Bible says, you know, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So now I suppose that all of us have passed that, you know, by a considerable amount, right? We all have more than just food and raiment. We have a lot of comforts that you could say generations previous to us may not have experienced. But there's always this desire for more and more and more. So covetousness. It's the first thing on the list for this selfie generation. All right. The next thing he talks about is boasters. All right. Now, for that, let's go over to Psalm 10. You know, some of these things run so closely together, like on parallel tracks. Psalm 10, verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. So they're grouped together in the same verse, aren't they? Boasters and covetousness. Well, you know, we live in a boastful society, don't we? We live in a proud society. I mean, did you ever notice all of the award ceremonies that go on? You know, it starts with the Oscars, and do you know what all that stuff is? And they're almost beyond number, you know, all these different awards. You know, it's all the celebs, they get together and they pat each other on the back, and, you know, that's what all that stuff is. You know, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're just so great. And they just have to keep reinforcing their ego, I guess, you know, with all the awards. You know, we have, what do we have? We have the Oscars, right? We have the Tonys, the Golden Globes, the Grammys, the People's Choice, the Emmys, the country music one was at the CMAs. You know, there's about 30 of them, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, and look at some of the people that won that. Oh, man. So boasters. God doesn't have a whole lot of good to say about boasters. How about proud? Look over with me in James chapter 4. Now, folks, these are just God's assessment of the latter days and the attitudes people have in the latter days. And of course, you know, all of this is encouraged and all of this is fostered. All right. In James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Pride. You know, the devil is called the father of pride. Pride originated in this universe with Satan himself. I was preaching a Sunday evening service back in New York about pride and all the negatives God has to say about being proud and pride. And, you know, someone came up to me afterward and said, well, can't we be proud of our children? And I had to think about that for a minute, you know, and then, you know, the Lord gave me an answer. You know, sometimes you send a Nehemiah prayer up to heaven. You know, do you remember what Nehemiah prayed? Help me, O Lord. And, you know, you send a Nehemiah prayer up. I said, you know, what would be wrong with, instead of saying, I'm proud of my children, how about instead of that, how about we say, I'm thankful for them? Do you see what that does? That puts the credit back on God. Because the book says children are an heritage of the Lord, doesn't it? So that dishes the credit right back to where it belongs. I'm not proud of them. I'm thankful for them. Now, you know, but we have been so enveloped in the pride generation that we tell people all the time, well, you can be proud of this and you can be proud of that. And, you know, if it's just a passing conversation, you know, that's probably understandable. You know, I mean, I've said it many times, you know, but when that pride gets ingrained in the human heart and we get proud of ourselves and proud of our accomplishments, boy, I just got smacked. Man, the Holy Spirit just smacked me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Do you know what the tendency then is? The tendency is to do exactly what Satan did. Forget God. Because it was God that gave it to us in the first place. Isn't that right? Every athlete that plays in the NFL couldn't play there if God didn't give him the ability to do it. Nobody can run a fast 100-yard dash unless God gives him the ability to do it. Isn't that right? So whatever the great accomplishment is, you know, the great entrepreneurs and business people of the world, if it wasn't for the Lord giving them the brains to accomplish it, they wouldn't have it. And so ultimately, it all goes back to God. Whatever you have, it's God that's the source. So pride's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. All right, let's go back and see what else we got there. All right, where do we leave off? All right, blasphemers. Man, now that sounds pretty heavy. Oh, by the way, do you know what a covetous person says? He says, I'll get it by myself. A boaster says, I'll brag about myself. The proud says, I'm stuck on myself. The blasphemer says, I'm above God. That's what a blasphemer really is. I'm above God. All right, look over in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. 1 Timothy in chapter 1. So, are you observing any of these traits in modern society so far? Well, it's obviously filled with it. It's proliferated with it. And as believers, it's our responsibility to do everything we can to fortify ourselves against that attitude, not to adopt them or to allow them to infiltrate our living and our thinking, but to resist them. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, that book says. All right, a blasphemer. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. All right, now, part of their blaspheme, or part of their blasphemy, was bad doctrine. Bad doctrine. But their bad doctrine dealt with the resurrection, and they believed that they knew more than God's book says. Now, in reality, there's a lot of blasphemers out there today that believe that they have the ability and the liberty to correct God's word. Amen? That's a blasphemer. You know something? I don't mess with the book. And I think you should know that by now. I don't always understand everything that's in the book. And so, you know, the average approach today is, well, you know, if I don't understand it, we'll just keep tinkering with it until we make it palatable to us. Wrong approach, man. Wrong approach. The right approach is, if you don't understand something in that book, you get down on your knees and you visit with the Lord and you say, now, Lord, you and I know that I'm dumber than a box of rocks. And I need your Holy Spirit to show me this thing and how this thing really is and how it works. You give me the revelation. You give me the light. And then you wait on the Lord to do it. You don't go changing it. You don't go messing with it. You wait on the Lord. Now, you know, some of our spiritual predecessors, you know, prayed about things that they never really did get light on. You know, Martin Luther prayed about some things that he never really did understand, and he freely admitted that he didn't understand it. Well, probably the biggest reason old Martin, you know, didn't get some of the things was it just wasn't time for those things to be revealed. You know, it just wasn't the time. But that guy wouldn't mess with the book. I mean, he translated a German Bible that's an absolute parallel track with your old King James Bible. He did a really good job with it. And even though he translated things that he wasn't sure he believed. Now, the modern approach to Bible translation is, well, I'm going to make my translation conform to my preconceived ideas and notions. It's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. You leave that book alone. Don't be a blasphemer. All right, how about disobedient to parents? Well, that guy says that, you know, I'm above my parents' authority. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, I think it's time for a sip. Oh, so good. So good. Just the usual. Just the usual. Green tea, some raw honey, ginger, and some lime. So good. All right, let's see. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. All right, so God says, here's what you need to do in regards to your parents. I am not above my parents' authority. Now, when you feel, you know, I instinctively knew, no one had to tell me, I knew when I no longer wanted to be subjected to my father's authority that it was time to move out. You know, you don't want to be subjected to my authority? Move out. And I did move out. It didn't really have anything to do with his authority. It was just time for me to go. But, you know, but there's a tremendous breakdown in our society on the whole authority issue. And authority is constantly being challenged. It's being spread all over the news on a regular basis about how police are that are supposedly allegedly run amok. And you know what all that stuff is? You know, of all the police and sheriff's deputies and all the folks in law enforcement that are out there that are working hard, you know, in America, you know, I doubt there's more than 1% of them that are truly run amok. So what we're doing is we're taking a very rare exception and trying to paint a rule from the exception. But authority and the proper attitude with authority really all starts at the top. Now, the guy that's in the White House right now doesn't respect the authority of the Constitution, nor does he respect the authority of the Congress or the Supreme Court. You know what the problem is? The guy has no respect for authority. Now, you know, God establishes lines of authority in our lives, and he does it for our benefit. And the authority starts in the home. You know, you talk with the average public school teacher today, I mean, it's a wreck. It's a nightmare. It's a zoo. There's a total breakdown of authority. You know, but I remember the days when it was the exact opposite. Man, if I was in trouble at school, oh boy, I was in bigger trouble at home. The worst words in my life were when the principal would say, I'm calling your father. Oh, man, no. No, man. So, you know, we have an authority breakdown. Now, as we evaluate and analyze the thing, Satan understands because he's the first one in recorded history to rebel against authority. Is he not? Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I will 5 times. I will, I will, I will. And God said, no, you won't. But 5 times, I will, against the authority of Almighty God. And so, basically, he's an authoritarian, but in reverse. He encourages and fosters this anti-authority attitude. Now, in all fairness, does authority run amok? Yeah, it does. But God knows that we need it. All right, next thing on the list. He says, disobedient to parents. The next thing is unthankful. Unthankful. Now, you see, that's the person that says, I'm more important. I'm more important. Look with me over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Unthankful. I'm more important. Now, I believe this. I've preached this. I teach this. I believe that unthankfulness is the root of all sin. You know, that's the real root of it. Now, by the time you get to bickering and complaining and griping, you need to back up and you need to say, what do I have to be thankful for? Because that's an ungodly thing. You know, that was Satan's problem all over again. Unthankful for the position and the attitude that God had given him. Boy, I mean, you think about it. It's just so easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? Being unthankful. It's easy. You know, folks, let's be a thankful people. Unholy. Unholy. Well, that's the guy that says, I don't have to be right. All right, look with me in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. That's a pretty gruesome list, isn't it? That's a bunch of serial killers, and you know what? Unholy is smack dab in the middle of it. All right? An unholy person is someone that says, I don't have to be right. I can just do whatever I want to do. You know, without natural affection. Without natural affection is someone that says, I have my rights. I have my rights, my civil rights. Now, if you study Revelation 2 and you study Revelation 3, God walks you through seven churches. And those seven churches are not only real churches in Asia Minor at the time that John is writing the book of Revelation, but they also picture prophetically the church age from beginning to end. And the last church is the Laodicean church. And, you know, just about all the Bible students and scholars that I know anything about, premillennial Bible students, all agree that the Laodicean church is a picture of the last days. And, you know, something, we live in the Laodicean age. Now, there are different estimates, but roughly just about everyone agrees that the Laodicean age kicked off somewhere around 1900 or so. Now, what's fascinating about that is that the word Laodicean means rights of the people. The rights of the people. So, in other words, it's an age of I want my rights, civil rights. You know, that's the emphasis of that particular age. Now, let's talk a little bit about natural affections in the light of that. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 in verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Now, we read verse 21 a little bit ago in reference to being unthankful, but in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did leave the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Well, that's the whole Bruce Jenner generation right there. That's described right there. There it is, without natural affection. But you know what? It goes beyond all of the sexual, perverted, twisted ideas that are out there. It goes beyond homosexuals and lesbians and transsexuals and the trans wannabes and the trans gonna-bes and all the other stuff that's out there. Without natural affection. Now, you know something? It used to be a rare thing, an extremely rare thing, to ever see a woman desert her children. Extremely rare. But in this day and age, you know, I am personally acquainted with a variety of situations where that thing has happened. Do you know what the problem is? That's a desertion of natural affections. You know, a maternal instinct is a natural affection, isn't it? I mean, it's just as natural as the sun rises. And when a woman deserts that natural affection, it's just a fulfillment of that prophecy in Romans chapter 1. There's something really unnatural going on there. And you got to wonder, you know, man, what in the world is going on with this thing? So like I said, I'm personally aware of a variety of those situations. So every kind of desertion of natural affection you can think of is upon us today. How about truce breakers? Truce breakers. Let me tell you what a truce breaker is. A truce breaker is a guy that says, elect me on my platform, and then I'll vote as I please regardless. Isn't that what a truce breaker is? I mean, how many times have you seen that? If I get elected, this is what I promise. This is what I'll do. This is what I'll accomplish. And then seldom do any of those things take place. You know, truce breakers. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. Now, in one sense of the word, you know, these are all just kind of negatives and downers, and you say, wow, man, this is just negative. But on the flip side, for us as believers, it's just a reinforcement of Bible prophecy. God's got it nailed, doesn't he? All right, now here's a description of a truce breaker. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness. A poor man is better than a liar. You might be poor, but if you're honest, you're in a lot better shape than a rich guy or a politician. You can go to bed at night with a clear conscience and get up in the morning and look in the mirror, and you don't have to say, what are you up to anyway? How about false accusers? What's a false accuser? Well, a false accuser is someone who essentially says then the end dictates the means regardless of the truth. The ends dictate the means regardless of the truth. That's a false accuser. Now, we see that in the political spectrum, don't we? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. All right, now, false accusers, you know, of course, were extremely prevalent when Jesus was about to be crucified. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now, the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, that's what he said. But you see, what they did is they took that and totally misapplied it and misappropriated it. It's called spin. And it happens all the time, doesn't it? False accusers. So we live in an age of false accusations. Remember the accusations about Donald Trump and Russian collusion and classified documents and you know, leading a quote-unquote insurrection. Well, who was telling the big lie? It was the mainstream media, the legacy media. False accusers. All right? Incontinent. Now, an incontinent one is someone that doesn't have control over themselves. Now, if you go back to your 1828 Webster's Dictionary, he says, particularly in reference, that he says that it's particularly in reference to sexual appetites. It's people that are just totally out of control. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a little insight that people need to get a hold of. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, a lot of people abuse that verse, and they make it mean what it doesn't say. They make it mean that, you know, you can't get into the kingdom of God if you're unrighteous. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. The key word here is inherit. All right, let's go on. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, again, the subject is inheritance. The millennial kingdom has to do with an inheritance. All right? A lot of people are going to go into the kingdom of God without an inheritance. All right? But now watch verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So a lot of people are under the impression that the kind of perversion that's discussed here in Romans chapter 1, if people participate in that they can't be saved. That's wrong. That's wrong. Notice, Paul says, and such were some of you, past tense. Well, what cleaned them up? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what changed them. That's what renovated and regenerated them. That's what fixed them. And that's the only thing that'll fix them. There really is no other fix. So can those people be saved? Yes, they can. Now, I'm not suggesting that an awful lot of them are, but I'm telling you that the possibility is there. I mean, any sin can be repented of and forgiven. You know, there's no such thing as a mortal sin, with the exception of rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, you reject him and you're done for. But anything else, God can fix, and God has fixed. And there are actually organizations out there that are helping people with those kind of difficulties. You know, with a spiritual slant and a spiritual viewpoint, and helping them come to the Lord and win a victory over those things. All right, the next thing on the list is fierce. Fierce. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8. Now, a lot of things are going on in the world today. You know, like the incident in Chippewa Falls, and you know, the auroras and the Del Rios, and you know, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's endless. And the only thing that you can say, is that, you know, these things are being perpetrated by fierce people. Now, a little insight on that. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, I can never say that word right, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. All right, now, so the maniac of Gadara and his buddy are referred to as being fierce. Now, these were demon-possessed individuals that were locked and chained and possessed such supernatural strength that they broke the chains. They were terrorizing the local community. They ran around cutting themselves, living naked in the graveyard. You know, they were just a mess beyond explanation. But the thing of it is, they're called fierce. And fierce has to do with satanic influence. You know, you don't go into a school and shoot as many people as you can unless there's a satanic influence. You don't go into an elementary school and shoot kindergartners unless there's a satanic influence. You don't march a bunch of people out on a beach and behead them unless there's a satanic influence. You see, Satan's involved with that. Why? Because John 8:44 says he's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So that kind of thinking, that kind of mentality, and the searing of the conscience comes from Satan himself. They're fierce. Well, then there's despisers of those that are good. Now, you remember that Herod over in Matthew chapter 2 wanted so desperately to destroy Jesus that he was willing to destroy all the babies of that age range along with him just to make sure that he got him. You go over to Acts chapter 12 and you have another Herod killing James because of his hatred for the gospel and the spreading of it. Despisers of those that are good. Was Jesus good? Was James good? How about Stephen? Was Stephen good? Despise that which is good. Now, more and more and more, you're seeing on the nightly news the direction and the way things are going. Despise that which is good. And then eventually, the despising is going to accumulate to the point where the evil is normalized. And you, the good people, are the weirdos. That's the direction. That's the way things are gravitating. So, despisers of those that are good. And the word despiser describes that really, really well. What about traitors? Traitors. Do you know what a traitor is? A traitor says, I'll advance myself at any cost. That's what a traitor is. All right, go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah and chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. And verse 10 of Jeremiah 20. For I heard the defaming of many. Now, this is Jeremiah the prophet saying, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Jeremiah the prophet is true to the word of God. He's trying to be faithful to the commission that God has given him, and his familiars, his colleagues, folks that he associated with in the quote-unquote ministry are watching him, and they're hoping and praying that he's going to trip up, that he's going to stub his toe, and then they could report it and say, see, there he is, nothing but a big, fat hypocrite. You know, several years ago, a friend of mine went through a brutal divorce. I mean, absolutely brutal. And at that particular time, he had a robust ministry, which was greatly impacted by it. you know, a lot of folks that he had been working with had turned on him and were very, very critical of him and critical of his ministry. The idea that prevailed there was, you know, well, how can you preach morality to us? And how can you set yourself up as a standard of righteous living and so on and so on and so on and so forth? And what they're suggesting is that even if you have a wart of wrongdoing in your past, the slightest little skeleton, you have no right to live or preach or suggest morality to anyone. Well, now, as I understand my Bible, that pretty much disqualifies everybody, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. As it is written, there is none that doeth good. And that's exactly where the libs want to go. You know, eliminate all suggestions of righteous living. Did you ever stop and ponder that thing for a minute? I mean, did God make a mistake when he told Moses, the murderer, to write, "Thou shalt not kill"? Isn't that who wrote it? There are people that are just waiting for the Christian to stub their toe. And then they jump all over them. You know, you big hypocrite. I read a story years ago, a true story. Back in the early 1900s in the country of Wales, they experienced a great revival. It was phenomenal. And of course, you know, Wales, particularly in those days, their economy was based upon coal mining. And so there were lots of villages that had economies built around and on coal mining. And then this revival hit this one particular village. And I mean, they were having services at the local church house every night. People were getting saved, walking the aisle, weeping their way to God. It was really a miraculous thing. And it occurred to some of the miners that attended that church that they needed to kind of group together and pray for one man that was their foreman. And he was known all over that region as just the biggest, dirtiest mouth, vilest reprobate imaginable. So they began to pray for him. I mean, they ganged up on this guy in prayer. You know, that's a good thing to do. They ganged up on him in prayer. They said, "Oh God, save this guy." Well, lo and behold, one night of this revival meeting, this guy, you know, he slipped into the back row and he listened intently. And he shot out the door right after the last amen was said, but he came back again a few nights later. And he came back again a few times. One night, the Holy Spirit got a hold of that guy and broke him down like a little boy. And he came crying. He came down that aisle bawling his eyes out. He knelt down before an old-fashioned altar and got saved. Well, you know, of course, immediately some of his reprobate buddies down at the mine began to tease him and harass him. "Oh, okay, I hear you got religion now." Now, you know the deal. You've heard all that stuff. "We hear you got religion." Yeah, well, you know, he just told them what happened to him. And among themselves, you know, they said, you know, it's just a matter of time and he's going to slip up. It's only a matter of time. Well, one day, he smashed his thumb badly with a hammer. I mean, just blood everywhere. Fingernail came off. I mean, just torturous pain. And he just let out a blue streak of words about 3 miles long. Now, of course, none of you have ever done that. So there's the adversaries. "You see that? Yeah, that religion, that didn't last long." And then somebody got a bandage and wrapped it up for him. And as soon as he had wrapped it up, it came on him. He turned around and he said, "Fellas, I've sinned against my conscience and I've sinned against my God. Excuse me." And he bowed down next to an old ore car. And out loud, he prayed, "Oh God, please forgive me. Forgive my profanity. Forgive me for not loving you and being thankful." And then he went on and on and on and prayed. Man, you talk about silence in the crowd. You know what happened? One by one, every one of those miners started coming to that church house and getting saved. That's what happened. You know, I've got a sermon on David, and it kind of goes like this. David was a great sinner. Did you ever study his life? But he was also a great repenter. Now, the adversary will major on the sin. The Lord majors on the repentance. All right, so traitors. How about Hetty? Hetty, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're almost done. Stick with us, we're almost done. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Heady, defined as rash, hasty, ungovernable. That's what heady is. You know, here's the problem. In churches all across America, there are way too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You with me? And consequently, heady is a really good word. But one of the most awesome and really worrisome passages in the whole Bible to me as a preacher is verse 17, when it says, "For they watch for your souls, and they must give account, that they may do it with joy." Now, someday, I'm going to have to give an account to the commander in chief, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, for how I taught you. You're not going to have to give an account for that. I am. So pay attention. Okay? Churches all across America are diminishing. And I'm talking about evangelical churches. You know, one of the great reasons why, I'm not going to say it's the only reason, but one of the great reasons is you got too many people that are heady, and all they do is fight with each other. That's what they're doing, fussing and fighting with each other. They're ungovernable. They're rash. They're hasty. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, we try to do things right. I do. I really do. I try to do things right. And do you know why I try to do things honestly and honorably and right? Because I have to give an account for it. That's what we just read. I have to give an account. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. High-minded. High-minded. Do you know what I call that? You know, we got a whole bunch of people in the world today that are educated beyond their level of mentality. Amen? And look, folks, I'm not opposed to education. I got some. But as I say periodically, I got over it. I got over it. And I mean that sincerely. So many people are so proud and so invested in their education that they think that it makes them superior to other people. You know, one of the smartest men I ever knew in my life was my dad. And he never spent a day in school beyond high school. Too much education. Now, we're being told constantly by the media that, you know, these young people, they have to have an education to make more money, to have an education. Well, I'll tell you some of the things that we need beside philosophers and psychologists and psychiatrists. We need good plumbers, electricians, carpenters, welders, you know, post-hole diggers, PhDs. I mean, we really do. We do. Welding is a good trade, and it's an art. I mean, I can weld, but I can't weld. You know what I'm saying? You know, I covet the ability. Oh, God help me, I covet the... To make a pretty bead like some people can do. There are lots, and I mean they stop now. But if they built the Keystone Pipeline, do you know how many welders that would take? And do you realize how proficient they're going to have to be to make that thing leak proof? Man, oh man. I mean they can't be amateurs, right? Well, that's a sidebar here. But high minded, too much education. Too much education. And finally, lovers of pleasure. Just see the entertainment section of a newspaper or on a website, on a news site. Awful lot of people in America today live for the weekend. And that's not to go to church. It's to fulfill the desires of pleasure. All right, just one more thing. All right, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want to show you one more thing here. These are all just things that God says that we can anticipate in the last days. And I think we've seen just about every one of these things in great fulfillment. All right? Verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, there's no shortage of religion in the last days. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Not a lot of power left in the churches of the world, or at least in America. Not a lot of power left. It's just a form of godliness. And then what I find more fascinating is verse 6. God, in prophetic anticipation, said something that we can only now really appreciate. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, so I got to thinking about that. How many of these jokers are out there that can creep into all these houses with silly women? How is it? How many of them are out there? And then it hit me. Television, internet. That's how they creep into the houses. All right, now, why is God picking on the women right here? Why is God picking on the women? Here's why. I'm going to tell you why. Because they will more quickly, as a group, not necessarily individually, but as a group, more quickly respond to an emotional message as opposed to a doctrinal message. So the Joel Osteens of the world creep into the house. When I was an associate pastor back in New York, we had a lady visit our church, and you know, we had a small group. We only had a handful of people, and she filled out a visitor's card, and it was my job as the AP to give visitors a call. So I gave her a phone call. I said, "Hey, I'm really glad you visited the church." And she said, "Well, I won't be back." I said, "Oh, why not?" And she said, "You know, I go to church to feel good." She said, "That's my whole purpose in going to church. I just want to feel good." And I said, "Ma'am, did it ever occur to you that God may not always want you to feel good?" And she said, "Oh, no. No, no. That's not my God. He always wants me to feel good." Really? Do you suppose that he wanted Joseph to feel good when he was locked up in prison? You see, God never promised that he's always going to make you feel good. He promised that he'd give you grace to get through the trial. He promised he'd give you mercy to endure it. But he never promised that he always wants you to feel good. All right, now that's the message that's being received today, more and more, and it's creeping into houses through all of those mediums that are out there. Just feel good. Now here's the fault of that. Some people say, "Man, I feel good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel good." And then all of a sudden the doctor says, "Cancer." And you know what that individual's inclined to do? Blame God. God gets the blame. So they desert God. Whereas if you're doctrinally predisposed to the truth, then you immediately understand and recognize that God never promised that he'd always make you feel good, but that he would walk you through every valley of shadows, and he'll get you through the thing. Now, what's the more critical message? The message is time and chance happeneth to them all. Bad times come to good people, don't they? They do. And, did bad times come to the Apostle Paul? Or how about James when he lost his head in Acts 12? I'd call that a bad day, wouldn't you? But it was a good day afterward for old James. But, you get the picture. So all of this stuff is just a concentrated picture of the days in which you and I live. Now, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Precious little, actually. But there's one thing that's very important, and that is that we don't allow all these attitudes to invade our thinking, our lives. Do the very best we can to put on the whole armor of God and fortify ourselves against those very things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the preaching and the teaching of your holy word. Father, we thank you for the examples that you have provided to us tonight on these indicators of the last days. God, we thank you for this series that you've led us through. And Lord, we ask your direction and guidance as we go forward. God, we also pray for those that are listening tonight, those that are here with us live tonight, and those who will be listening later as the podcast. God, I pray for them. I pray that you would open their eyes to what's going on in the world around them, and that they would call upon you for salvation if they need to be saved, or they would call upon you for the grace and the mercy they need to endure the times that we're in. And we ask this all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, folks, that will take us to our second break of the night, our last break of the night, before we come back and we'll get into our announcements and our shout-outs, our emails, and all the other fun stuff that we're going to do. All right, folks, this is the Sword of the Spirit podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends, your family, and your followers. That way, you'll help us spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And
This is Barry of Potholm.fm and the Improving Barry podcast. You're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and Potholm.fm.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Joe Russiello, and it is a blessing to be here with you again tonight. And we've been talking about the indicators of the last days, and we have finally come to the conclusion of that series. Let me know what you think about it. Any comments or questions you have, don't forget to head over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and use the web form, or you can email me directly at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. All right, let's see. So moving on through the show here, we're going to go into our announcements. So without any further ado, let's get to it. Hey, folks, so Thursday night Bible studies are back in swing. We are meeting every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on swordofthespiritpodcast.com. We're also live streaming on fountain.fm, Podcast Guru, True Fans,
So there are plenty of places to catch the show and catch it live and, of course, listen to it as the podcast. So every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, tonight we were finishing up our series on the indicators of the last days. And coming up next Thursday, we're going to be moving on to a different subject altogether. I'll let you know more about that on Sunday. I've got a couple of ideas that I'm working out here, so I'll let you know on Sunday where we're going to go with that. Now, speaking of Sunday, our Sermon Sunday broadcast is every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, you can catch it all on our website at swordofthespiritpodcast.com, or you can head over to fountain.fm, Podcast Guru, or truefans.fm, and you can listen live on those websites as well. And there are plenty of others as well, and you can always head over to modernpodcastingapps.com or podcastindex.org to find out more about those players that are available to you in the Podcasting 2.0 value for value system. All right, folks, if you are in the Eagle Pass area and you're looking for a good King James Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church, why don't you consider paying us a visit over at First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass? We meet at 664 North Monroe. Our Sunday school hour starts at 10 a.m. Our worship service begins at 11. Our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday night Bible study meets at 7 p.m. Now, for more information, all you need to do is head over to the church's Facebook page, search for First Baptist Church of Eagle Pass. It's the only one in Eagle Pass, so you can't miss it. And once you get there, you're going to find a lot of really, really helpful information. And also, you'll find out information about the podcast. Now, as always, we say thank you to the folks at First Baptist Church, the ones that actually run the Facebook page. And, of course, also, we want to say thank you to our pastor and our friend, John Monk, for all of his prayers, all of his support, his encouragement. What a blessing this man has been in my life since we crossed paths just a few years ago. What a great Bible teacher, and I love him with all my heart. Good man, great friend. So thank you so much to Pastor Monk and to the folks at First Baptist Church for allowing us to use the church's Facebook page. Now, don't forget to let me know if you'd like to be part of our programming announcements email list. You can just shoot me an email at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. We still haven't been able to get that link working on the website. We're working on it, promise you that, but we'll get there. We'll get there. We're getting closer. All right. So if you want to get on the mailing list, just email me info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com or Mr. Producer at producer@swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and we'll manually add you to the list. Now, the important thing about the list is, or why it's so important, is the fact that, you know, it's the easiest and best way for us to reach you during the course of a week. Don't forget, we only broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays. So in between Sunday and Thursday, there's quite a few days in between. Anything can possibly come up and make some and cause some changes in what we're going to be doing. So it would be beneficial to be on that mailing list. Now, the other things about it is we don't sell your information. We don't share your information. Everything stays here with us. And on top of that, it's free, which means it doesn't cost you anything. So you can get on our mailing list, and that way you'll stay in the know. All right. Want to talk to you a little bit about the War Tribe Armory. Now, War Tribe Armory is located right here in Eagle Pass, Texas, at 3037 U.S. 57. If you are looking for custom builds, gun sales, magazines, holsters, or trade-ins, or if you're looking to for engraving, cleaning, restoration, refinishing, Cerakote, repairs, anything like that, War Tribe Armory is the place to go. It's a veteran-owned and operated establishment. They're FFL license holders, so they can take care of all your FFL transfers. And what a great bunch of guys as well. You can find them on their social medias at wartribe.armory. You can also find them at War Tribe Armory on Facebook. Email them at wartribearmory1133@gmail.com. Actually, one of our listeners went over to War Tribe and dropped off a rifle that was left to him by his father and had that thing restored. It is absolutely beautiful. You can see it up on their Instagram page if you go over and take a look at it. They did fantastic work on that and really great, great, great things there. So head on over to War Tribe Armory and check them out. Also, want to tell you about Armory One. Armory One provides Texas license to carry certification and leverages over 30 years of military and law enforcement experience in instructing students in the safe use of firearms. They also offer numerous courses on self-defense with a handgun, active shooter preparedness, home defense, and so much more. Now, these are the folks that we partner with to do the LTC classes back in March. And we are going to be having two more classes coming up in May, May 25th and May 26th. So put that on your calendar. And you can get more information about that by visiting armory1.com. And then as I get more information, I will definitely pass that on to you. If anything changes, I'll let you know for sure. And I'm excited about it. I look forward to seeing some folks out there. Hopefully, if you're listening and you are interested in doing something like that, you can always reach out to me and I can get you copies of flyers and whatnot. And we'll talk to Mr. Producer later on. Maybe we can get it, put it up on the website as well. All right, so armory1.com for more information on all of that. The LTC classes are $40, and then there's a small fee if you want to rent a if you want to rent a firearm for the day, and you need about 50 rounds of ammunition for the qualification. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of very informative. You're going to learn so very much. All right, let's see. That should do it for our announcements. What about our socials? Well, our list of socials has expanded. Twitter, TikTok, Getter, Instagram, Truth Social, Rumble, and Locals. You can find us on all of those locations as the SOTS podcast, and we look forward to having some interactions with you on there as well. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't really spend a lot of time on social media. I'm not really a big fan of social media. I try to stay away from it as much as I can. I'll post some things pretty much about the show, and that's about it. But it would be nice to see you guys out there checking out whatever we're putting out, and it would be a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll see you there. All right. Scrolling on down through our list here. Now we come to our shout-outs and listener emails. And, of course, we are extremely thankful to everyone who has been listening and has been contributing. We have definitely seen our donations increased over the last month or so. So we do really, really appreciate that. And thank you so much to everybody, Now, if you want to get your shout out, we are asking for a minimum donation of $16.11. You can make that through PayPal right now. We'll find other ways to get that taken care of as well down the road. But for now, it's through PayPal. So recommended minimum donation for the shout out, again, is $16.11. And again, through PayPal. Now, this week, we received a contribution, or donation, rather, from Evan B. of $20. And Evan wrote in his note, "Thank you for the Bible studies. I've learned so much through this series." And I'm assuming he's talking about the indicators of the last days. So, Evan, thank you so very much for your contribution of $20. And that's it as far as the 1611 or more contributions. We also have a number of folks that are streaming stats to us via Fountain and Podcast Guru and True Fans. We appreciate that. Thank you so very much for that. Now, remember, folks, the the sats, that's like micro Bitcoin or something to that effect. I'm not too keen on the terminology for these things, but you know, that's why we have Mr. Producer to handle all that stuff. But so basically, they're just pennies, really. So any contribution you make is greatly appreciated, and we are very, very thankful to receive it from you. Now, if you want the shout out, the minimum again is $16.11, or the equivalent in sats. So I look forward to getting more of these shout outs made, and we're looking at different ways of showing our appreciation. And again, thank you so very much to each and every one of you. Now, it's really easy, especially on the modern podcasting apps that are out there, to set up a Bitcoin wallet or a crypto wallet. Like I say, I'm an old guy, and I was able to figure out pretty quickly how to do it, and I'm sure that you can do that too. They make it very, very easy, so it's definitely doable. All right, so let's see. Let's talk about really quickly here, listener involvements. How about this? You may have heard we have a couple of folks that have recorded little promos or intros or spacers for us on the that you hear on the breaks. And if you would like to contribute something like that, just record something in an MP3 format and send it on over to us at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com. Doesn't have to be long, just a couple of seconds long is fine. Like you heard One of the young lady who did one of them for us. Very simple. You know, you're listening to the Sword of the Spirit podcast on swordofthespiritpodcast.com and podhome.fm. And we can get that put into our rotation for our breaks. And that's a lot of fun, and I would appreciate that very, very, very much. So, again, just record something simple like that as an MP3 and send it over to us by email at info@swordofthespiritpodcast.com or send it over to producer at swordofthespiritpodcast.com. All right. Well, I think that's that for that. And also want to remind you about the modernpodcastapps.com, where you can find all of the new podcasting 2.0 value for value podcasts. Again, folks, just to remind you, we are totally dependent upon, first of all, the Lord, and we are dependent upon you, our listeners, to help us keep things going here. We really count on your support. If you could do a recurring contribution or a recurring donation, we would appreciate that immensely. Those really are very, very important to what we're doing. We have a few folks that do that, and we are incredibly thankful for it. Kind of helps us budget things out and plan things out. Or you can continue to make individual donations. We appreciate those as well. Your sats, your boosts, your streaming on the modern apps, all helps. Everything helps. And we would really, really appreciate that. All right. Well, folks, I think that should just about do it for us for tonight. Thank you again for taking the time to be with us tonight. I really do hope that you received a blessing from this particular study that we've been doing for the last 8 weeks on the indicators of the last days. So why don't you head on over to our website, swordofthespiritpodcast.com, and when you get there, click on that contact section, send us a message, let us know any comments or questions you have. Don't forget to send over prayer requests. Also, if you would, look for the Support This Show tab, and if you could help us out with a donation in any amount, we would really, really appreciate that. All right, folks, make Bible study great again. Go podcasting, keep a steady stride, and win the lost, no matter the cost. God bless you. Take care.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Who cares about the clouds?